Welcome to another episode of 100 at 100, Research for Our Next Century, a series of programs highlighting research on the campus of the University of Texas at El Paso to celebrate our 100th birthday. Today we have Professor Karine Fenelon, and she's from the Department of Biological Sciences. And Karine, welcome to 100 at 100.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation, and very excited to be here. The reason I'm here is because I had very good training. Actually, I come from Columbia University, and I had the opportunity to be trained by two brilliant and enthusiastic scientists, and very inspiring one, one in genetics and the other one in electrophysiology. So here at UTEP, I'm bringing this expertise with me, and I want to understand how people can focus attention, so how normal individual can block irrelevant sensory information to focus their attention on whatever they're doing. And so this is very easy for you and me most of the time because we're healthy individuals, but unfortunately some other people suffering from diseases cannot do that as easily. And you can imagine how it can impair their everyday life, even though it does not look like it's something that you need an effort to do this kind of things. But for example, people with schizophrenia and obsessive compulsive disorder, for example, two devastating diseases that affect a lot of people in the world, well, those people cannot focus attention. And this can lead to many social consequences for them. For example, they cannot focus attention, so they cannot hold a job very easily or for a long time. And so, of course, they need this job to survive. They also are found a bit excluded from society because people find them a little bit different from other people, and so on and so forth. So my goal is to try to understand the brain circuit that is in our central nervous system and is essential to process this information and to allow us to focus attention. And the long run of that is that this will allow us to identify new target for possible therapeutic avenues by comparing normal individual with disease animal models.
But the question comes up, how do you do your experiments? Do you study animals or do you study real people?
That's a very, very good question, actually. And, of course, ideally, it would be to study human beings. But unfortunately, there are some ethical issues that we cannot bypass. For example, if I wanted to record the activity inside the brain of a human being, well, that cannot be done, unfortunately, right now. What we can do is use animal models and also in vitro preparation that have a lot of advantages. So in our laboratory, we use an animal, a rodent, so mice, and we don't use the entire animal. We use part of it. So we use its brain and part of its brain. So we use brain slices. And so
it's dead, the animal.
The animal,
that's the first point.
Correct. The animal is dead, but the system is still alive. So we are able to maintain part of this system alive in vitro in a dish, and this allows us to record the activity of the cell, the nervous cell that are responsible for that activity.
Thank you very much, Dr. Karine Fenelon from the Department of Biological Sciences. This has been another episode of 100 to 100 Research for Our Next Century in celebration of the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. And my name is Keith Pannell.